Welcome to Dark History Time with Brian. A few things before we get started. Need to let you know that you might find some of this material disturbing. We do use adult language on the show. Listener discretion is advised. Start as always with a thank you for listening. The audience is growing, the listens are going up. I truly appreciate it. I will ask once again, throw me any comments, any suggestions, any of that good stuff. I would love to interact with some of you guys, so please do that. And without further ado, this one will hit you sometime in September. I'm not sure the exact date, so I figure it's time to do the September dates in dark history. Starting with September 1, 1939, Hitler's forces invade Poland, thus beginning World War II in Europe. September 2, 1963, if you guys aren't familiar with this guy, just look him up, giant piece of shit, Alabama Governor George Wallace, forcibly halted public school integration by having state troopers encircle Tuskegee High School and not let black children in. September 3rd, 1939, Great Britain and France, they declare war on Germany after Hitler invaded Poland a couple days before that. September 4th, 1886, that is the last major U.S. versus Indian war ends with the capture of Geronimo. Sometimes hard for me to call these wars. They were. I mean, there was mutual combatants, far more massacres of natives than actual battles, so that's why it's tough for me to call them a war, but that's what they were known as the Indian Wars. Some of you guys might even know this one. It was, you do see it from time to time, mentioned on television, and there was a Ben Affleck movie. I believe it was just called Munich. I don't remember for sure, but I think that was just called Munich a few years back. September 5th and 6th, 1972. 11 members of the Israeli Olympic team are killed during an attack on the Olympic Village in Munich by members of the Black September faction of the Palestinian Liberation Army. September 7, 1940, Germany's Luftwaffe begin the Blitz bombing campaign against London. I threw this one in here because I don't know how many people even know about it. I remembered that this occurred, but I didn't remember the time that it occurred. September 8, 1900. Galveston, Texas was struck by a hurricane followed by a tidal wave killing 8,000 people and destroying 2,500 buildings. September 8, 1941, Germany begins its blockade of Leningrad, which lasted until January of 1944, resulting in nearly 1 million Russian civilian deaths. I don't think this one needs a whole lot of explanation. September 11, 2001. Terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center in New York, the Pentagon, and the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Not going to get way into that. Maybe that becomes an episode later on down the line. I'd like to think that most everybody is familiar with that one, though. September 12th. This one I put in there just to illustrate how recent some of this history is that some people think is ancient history. It's pretty recent. I know 1990, you weren't born yet.
No. Nope.
But September 12th, 1990, East and West Germany, along with the original World War II Allies powers, signed a treaty that allowed the restoration of the sovereignty of a reunified Germany. So just 1990 did become Germany again, not East and West.
Is that when the wall fell? The Berlin Wall?
The wall fell, I believe, 2 years prior, maybe?
Oh, so the wall was already gone at that point.
The wall was gone. It was essentially still, I mean, it was essentially one country at that point, but to actually be recognized as a sovereign nation of Germany, this is when that took place in 1990. Have you ever heard of the Attica prison uprising?
No.
No? Okay. September 13th, 1971, there was a five-day revolt in Attica prison. A lot of things burnt, guards held hostage. That ended when National Guardsmen stormed the prison. 31 prisoners and 11 guards were killed. So going on the tail end of that, decided I wanted to go a little bit more into the Attica prison uprising. It seems like it's not really something that's talked about as much anymore. This was obviously before my time. I mean, 71, that's 2 years before I was born. But I guess the fallout from it was still pretty good. Used to watch an HBO series called Oz. It's a prison series, and I'm pretty sure it was in that one and a couple other prison movies that you've seen. People start chanting Attica, Attica, Attica. That came from this instance. Kind of started over the summer of 1971 at the state prison in Attica, New York. Inmates were frustrated by chronic overcrowding, the censorship of letters, and living conditions that saw them limited to one shower a week and one roll of toilet paper for the entire month. That's a little bit nuts. I worked in a county jail. We took around a goodie cart every morning, and you could get a roll of toilet paper. You're supposed to keep an eye on them because some of those guys will have a shit ton of them as their pillows and stuff, and they're not supposed to be making comfortable items out of them. They're supposed to be that, but...
It's actually kind of smart.
It is kind of smart. I mean, there was one guy, I mean, we did a cell search, and I don't remember. I think I pulled like 24 rolls of toilet paper out of there. He had them all tied together, ripped off a piece of sheet, tied them all together, and had them all folded in half. So it was like a body pillow. And, I mean, yeah, I worked with a lot of guys that just didn't give a shit for the rules either. And I mean, COs, not just inmates, COs that didn't give a shit and didn't pay attention. And luckily, while I was there, it didn't cause any issues, but it's just a matter of time. So,
what would happen to somebody if they were caught doing that? Like, what kind of repercussions would you typically have? Or is it more of just like a slap on the wrist?
It starts off with a slap on the wrist. I mean, and by slap on the wrist, that could be you don't get food items on commissary for a week. You don't get a visit for that week. I mean, that's or you don't run rec for one go around. It's that's the three you start with. I mean, you start with taking away rec time, visits, and commissary. You have to, by law, allow them to buy personal hygiene products. So you can't restrict that, but you can restrict food items. So that's where you start, and you just put in there how long. I mean, you have your little hearing, and you put in there how long they can't have it. You know, it starts bumping up to 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, stuff like that. But most of the time, like I said, unfortunately in my time there, most of the COs were retired on duty and just didn't care, so not a whole lot got done. But getting back to Attica, so that one roll of toilet paper for a month, I know I couldn't do it.
I couldn't, no.
God, I mean, that's pretty extreme. On September 9th, 1971, as the inmates were on their way to breakfast, they overpowered the guards and ran through that area of the prison. They were able to break through a faulty gate and get into a central area, which gave them access to all of the cell blocks. Many of the 2,200 inmates, sorry about that, joined in, beating guards, acquiring makeshift weapons, and burning down the prison chapel. One guard, William Quinn, was severely beaten and thrown from a second-story window. He ended up dying 2 days later from his injuries. Using tear gas and submachine guns, state police regained control of three out of the four cell blocks without any loss of life. That's kind of important as we go along because, as you can see, it was able to be done. By 10:30 a.m., inmates held only the D yard, which was surrounded by 35-foot walls and gun towers. There, they held 39 hostages, most of them guards and prison employees. The hostages were blindfolded and held in a tight circle, guarded by armed inmates. Some leaders of the riot put together a list of demands, including improved living conditions, more religious freedom, an end to the mail censorship, and expanded phone privileges. They asked for specific people, including a U.S. representative and a New York Times columnist, to serve as negotiators and civilian observers. While this was going on, hundreds of state troopers and the National Guard, who was called by Governor Nelson Rockefeller, gathered around the prison. New York Correction Commissioner Russell Oswald agreed to honor the demand for improved living conditions, but talks slowed and bogged down when the prisoners called for amnesty for everyone that was still in D yard, And this one probably pushed it a little too far. They asked for safe passage to a non-imperialist country for anyone who wanted it. Observers asked Rockefeller to come to the prison to show good faith, but he refused and instead ordered the prison retaken by force. Now, remember just a minute ago, I mentioned that they took 3 out of the 4 within it without any loss of life. They were armed with guns and they had tear gas, but they took that without any loss of life. So ultimately, on Monday, September 13th, an ultimatum demanding surrender was read to the inmates. They responded by putting knives to the hostages' throats. At 9:46 a.m., helicopters flew over the yard and dropped tear gas as state police and correction officers stormed in with their guns blazing. There was 3,000 rounds fired into the haze, killing 29 inmates and 10 hostages while wounding 89 more people. Most were shot in the initial rush, but others were shot after surrendering. An EMT recalled a wounded prisoner lying on the ground, shot numerous times in the head by a state trooper. Another prisoner was shot 7 times and then ordered to crawl, and when he didn't crawl fast enough, they kicked him. In the aftermath, and you're going to love this, because if that wasn't fucked up enough, it stays fucked up. This is a bad situation. In the aftermath, authorities said that the inmates had been killed by hostages cutting their throats, and they claimed one hostage was even castrated. Autopsies disproved all of these claims and instead showed that all 10 hostages had been shot to death by police. This attempted cover-up prompted a congressional investigation and increased public condemnation of the raid. It was the worst prison riot in U.S. history. A total of 43 people were killed, 39 in the raid, guard William Quinn, and 3 inmates who were killed early in the riot. In the week following, guards engaged in brutalities against the inmates, forcing them to run a gauntlet of nightsticks and crawl naked over broken glass. Many of the injured inmates received poor medical treatment, if they were allowed to receive medical treatment at all. Remember I said it got more fucked up? That was more fucked up. Here comes the fucked up ending to it all. In 1974, a $2.8 billion class action lawsuit was brought against the prison and state officials. It took it 18 years before it came to a trial, and 5 more years on top of that before they reached the damages phase. In January of 2000, a settlement was reached for $8 million. It was divided unevenly amongst 500 inmates based on the severity of their sufferings. And lest we think that they're the only ones that got screwed by this whole deal, the families of the slain correctional officers lost their right to sue when they accepted a death benefit check that the state sent out to them. So by accepting that, they said, oh, yeah, that's okay. We won't sue. They didn't know that. They just thought, well, yeah, you're paying the death benefit insurance, as you should, and figured they still had the chance to sue. They were wrong. Hostages, who were there again, would be guards or prison employees who survived. They were found in court to have lost their right to sue because they continued to get paychecks and cash them. So since they continued to work there and continued to cash their paychecks, you're okay with it. You don't get to sue us.
Wow.
Both groups attested that no state officials apprised them of their legal rights. And that is a oh-so-short rundown. The nuts and bolts of the Attica uprising.
You weren't kicking it around. I mean, it gets more progressively fucked up as it, from start to finish.
I mean, you've got a riot, which is bad enough. Then you've got your governor who decides, oh, we're going to take it by force regardless, because they don't give a shit.
No.
I mean, why should they care?
And it looks bad on them.
So and I mean, you heard the name, right? Nelson Rockefeller? I mean, come on.
Oil.
You got it. And the big boys that have been in play from the beginning of this country. You'll see their names pop up in a lot of this fucked up stuff, because that's, I don't know what you want to say. The luxury of fame, the luxury of money, power. You and I know this. We've seen it play out in I don't know how many criminal cases. I mean, if you're rich and white, you buy your way out of having any justice done. You just do. I mean, hopefully I don't lose a whole bunch of listeners by saying that, but all you got to do is...
The consequences are clearly different.
All you have to do is look. I mean, I don't think this is an argument. I don't think it's one where you could say, well, no, this disproves that, this disproves that. Just look. I mean, really. I suppose maybe throwing in the white part might get some things going. I mean, at the time, OJ was rich and he was black and he bought himself freedom. So, and there's another hot take for you. OJ, if he didn't do the act, he had it done. I'll say that. That's my opinion on OJ. But yeah, I mean, the rich and powerful very, very rarely ever have any real consequences. It's going on now without getting political. Look at the last administration and how many people actually had indictments brought, had the charges filed, were found guilty, and then extremely minimal sentences, or they were granted pardons. I mean, that's just the way it works. So in this case, I mean, you have, I don't know how many real survivors. I mean, it said the class action lawsuit was brought, I think, and then 500 people ended up benefiting from that. So you got 500 measly people fighting the state of New York. I mean, it's not too hard to figure out who's going to win this one. And you could see that by how long it got drawn out, 18 years until they decide to have a trial on it. And then 5 more years just debating until they decide, oh yeah, we will go ahead and pay some damages. It went from, what did I say, $3.8 billion to $8 million. That's a big drop-off. And even that's a settlement probably reached, if I had to guess, by the plaintiffs in this case, saying, hey, it's taking this long, some people are dying off, we got to take what we can get now, or we might get nothing. So I have my opinions on incarceration in this country. It is a broken system. Clearly back then, there was a whole lot of issues there. I know they have come up numerous times since then on the treatment of inmates. I would like to think it's not that extreme anymore, but I also know that with the privatization of prisons, it's all about the bottom line. And that's, the bottom line ain't the inmates. It's that almighty dollar again, so.
I'm sure there's plenty of corrections facilities out there that are great, but I feel like a good amount, probably the majority of them, have some kind of unfair.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure it's along the lines of the privatization. When you make it a business, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, if you're talking business, those people are looking at dollars and cents. They're not looking at people. They're looking at numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't care. I mean, a decent example would be Orange is the New Black. If you watch that series, you see when they talk about that prison being purchased and then those people put in their people to run the thing. It's a very good illustration of how that works, because it becomes, well, the state or the federal government will give us money if we show this, 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 and this. It doesn't necessarily have to be for the good of the people. We just have to show that we did it. And that opens the doors for all kinds of grifts going on, because you can say, oh, yeah, we have this program. You can show it on paper, never have implemented it, and get your money.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just lines the pockets. I mean, it's a bad deal. It's going on with, it's not just private prisons. I mean, the railroads, when they started getting going, they would place government bids all over the place for shit they absolutely didn't need, and that went to the people that owned the railroads. It happens with everything. If you can find a way to secure money by screwing people, people will do it. It's just our nature, it seems. So I admittedly don't know much about this, except to know that he was one of our assassinated presidents. September 14th, 1901, President William McKinley dies from wounds that he suffered 8 days prior during an assassination attempt. Side note, a lot of people know Teddy Roosevelt. A lot of people have seen Night at the Museum. Robin Williams played him. Teddy Roosevelt succeeded William McKinley as president. I did not know about this one, and I throw it in there, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but I think it's a very provable fact, regardless of what you think, it's a provable fact that the vast majority, I don't have numbers, of murder and killings are in the name of a religion. So, I wanted to put this in here. September 16, 1982, a two-day massacre begins in a Palestinian refugee camp in West Beirut as Christian militiamen begin shooting hundreds of Palestinians, including elderly men, women, and children. September 17, 1862, is the bloodiest day in U.S. military history. That was the Battle of Antietam. 26,000 men were killed, wounded, or missing. September 29th through 30th, 1941, Nazis kill 33,771 Jews during the, I hope I say this correctly, Babi Yar massacre near Kiev. And lastly, September's kind of a short month. September 30th, 1955, movie star, Hollywood heartthrob James Dean is killed in a car crash at the age of 24. I actually visited James Dean's grave just a few months ago. It's over in Indiana.
Really?
Yep. Easy drive. That's where he's from. Like,
I was about to ask, is he from Indiana?
Yep. And I cannot think of the name of the town right now, but yeah, it's probably maybe a two-hour drive over.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Little tiny town. Of course, it was a detour off of our path, so I didn't plan it out. But they have a James Dean Museum, and they have, I mean, that every year, I think it's for his birthday, they have a James Dean celebration over there, and it draws tons and tons of people from all over the world, literally, to go see James Dean's hometown.
Now, understandable that they're proud of that.
Yeah, and they told me, I asked where the cemetery was, and the guy was like, he told me how to get to the cemetery, and I was like, is his stone easy to find? And he's like, yeah, there's markers, but just look for the one with lipstick on it. Apparently, there always somebody kisses it. And sure enough, there was red lipstick from a girl kissing his stone, so it was there. It was easy to find. If you want to do a little road trip anytime, if you're around Central Illinois or Central Indiana, it's a nice, easy drive. Cemetery's on the edge of town. Like I said, the town's real small. Cemetery's on the edge of town, and his stone is, depending on which entrance you go in, it's about halfway between the two entrances to the cemetery. It's actually a really good-sized cemetery for as small as the town is, but once you go in, they have signage that says James Dean Grave, and it points you the right way. Once you come off of it, there's one of the roads you drive through in the cemetery. It's right off the road. It's not like you got to go back a few plots. It's right on the road. So pretty easy to find. Yeah, I'm kind of ranting on here a little bit, and I apologize. I'll wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed the dates, the infamous dates in September that I brought. Hope you enjoyed it. The expanded little bit about Attica. I think that's going to become a normal thing when I do the first podcast of the month. When I do my dates, I'm going to pick one of those dates and expand on it a little bit. There'll probably still be some of the shorter episodes just because that's the nature of the beast. If there's two instances that I think should be brought forward a little more, maybe then I do two. Either way, I think that's going to become the thing for at least the first of the month podcast will be our dates, which I mentioned previously. I'll start looking at not just some of these dates, but dates certain infamous people maybe were born or certain infamous acts related to murder took place, not just these. What I've been presenting up to this point has been worldwide type stuff that people had felt when it took place, not necessarily just focused on, you know, any United States serial killer or anything like that. But maybe I'll start adding those in, and we're still feeling our way through, still getting it figured out. I appreciate everybody listening and liking. I don't know. I haven't looked at the Apple Podcast platform for a while. I don't know if there's any more ratings on there or not, but the audience is growing, and the audience is not just in listens, but it's the dedicated audiences, which is what I kind of look at to see if people are sticking with it. That is actually growing up.
It's about 50.
It's about 50 right now. With, what did you say, 362 listens, I think, up to
total
today.
As of today. Yeah.
Yep. So I have noticed when I look at it that every podcast is getting close to 30 listens per, which is nice, and some of them are getting it real fast. So clearly people might be looking forward to those Wednesdays, those every other Wednesdays, and that'll continue to be the format, and hopefully we get you fiending for it. And you guys can't wait for the next one. That's all I got for now. Hopefully we don't fall off schedule. I don't think we will. I do have some personal things coming up, job change, surgical procedure, all that good shit that might interfere a little bit here and there. But rest assured, I plan on bringing you something every other week, no matter how we do it. If I gotta spend an entire day with Austin and have him listen to me drone on for 5 or 10 episodes just so we have him in the can, I'll do it. Thanks again, folks. Hopefully you have a good September. Let's continue driving those numbers up, and hopefully you'll continue listening to me talk about all this dark history. Thanks again.